Well, I want to thank everybody who submitted this month. I know it was a tight deadline. I've barely had time to get my stuff done, so believe me, I sympathize. We'll be back to our regular schedule next month, now that I'm done with my vacation. By the time the next previews rolls around, 4th of July, Comic-Con, all that stuff will be over. So I believe DCBS orders are going to be due maybe around the 22nd of July. I don't know. Check the order form when that comes out. I'm actually recording it before the order form comes out. That's how early we're doing it this time around. But again, 4th of July, etc., etc. The next previews is going to come out on July 29th, and we'll be back to our regular schedule. What that means is the deadline will be Saturday bright and early that morning on August 8th. So you'll have a week and a half after previews comes out. So what I'll do is the week before previews comes out, I'll send an email that Wednesday. If you want to get on that email list, just drop me a note either on the forum or by email and I'll add you to it. It's kind of an opt-in thing. I don't want to spam anybody or anything like that. So the Wednesday previews comes out, I send an email. The following Wednesday, I send a reminder, and then that Saturday morning is when the deadline is. That gives me the weekend to kind of get stuff put together, because it tends to also be the weekend I've got to be crunching the numbers and all that for the sales estimates. Now, like I said, I haven't really done a deep pass through previews myself. I've just kind of pieced together my order, and it's looking to be about 10 items from Dark Horse, 66 from DC, 10 from IDW, 14 from Image, 51 from Marvel, and 27 from the back half, for a total of 178, which, frankly, feels low, so I think I need to go through another pass and see if I've just missed stuff, because normally I'm up close to that 200 item count. Over a third of the list, over 37% is from DC for me, 28.65% from Marvel, and then the rest split across, 5.6% to Dark Horse and another 5.6% to IDW, almost 7.9% of my stuff from Image, and about 15% from the back half. Again, this is just kind of a quick thrown together order form, I haven't gotten the order form yet. I've basically taken the consumer order form I posted on the forum the last month or two, and I just threw it into Excel to where I could just check off what I want to get. I do this off, and that way I can kind of front load the process and then convert that into the DCBS order form when it comes out. Based on my guesstimate of what the estimates are going to be and stuff from DCBS, I'm somewhere right around the $500 mark, so maybe it is everything. And maybe they're just coming out with less stuff and charging more for it, which seems to be the case. That $399 price point is really popular these days. Anyone going to San Diego Comic-Con? Again, the podcasting panel will be on July 11th, that Saturday at noon at the Central Library in the auditorium. Great place to find me at Comic-Con. I'll be out and about the rest of the time, but I have no idea when or where. And again, that's probably the easiest time to go find me is during that panel, right after that panel. I'm happy to stay and chat with people. Hopefully everybody found stuff they were interested in. I want to thank Brandon, Chris, Derek, Jason, and TJ for sending in clips. Again, it was a tight deadline, so it's a little bit shorter episode than usual. But hopefully everybody will have more time next month and be excited about stuff they heard about at Comic-Con or from Comic-Con news, etc., and have lots of clips to send in. These episodes really, open submission policy. These episodes only work if you guys submit stuff. We got some really great picks this time around, and I look forward to the picks because that's how I find out about new stuff. So hopefully everybody found stuff, and until next month, be going through previews, looking at the online solicits, send in clips. Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 93 for the July 2015 previews. In this episode, we'll be going through some of the items in previews that you might find interesting. The way we determine that is we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Everyone is encouraged to send in clips. That includes creators, publishers, marketing people, companies, retailers, and of course, listeners of the podcast, other podcasters, basically anyone who likes comics, send in a clip about the comics you like so other people can enjoy them too. There are thousands of items and previews each and every month. I mean, literally thousands. And it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Now, as always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way towards the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. So, let's get started.
Hey guys, this is TJ with another month of previews, and my first selection is on page 46 of the Dark Horse section. And this is the Goon Library Edition, Volume 1 hardcover, with writing and art by Eric Powell. And Dark Horse is very well known for their Hellboy Library Editions, their Fear Agent Library Editions, and now they're doing the Goon Library Edition. So I'm really excited. The Goon is one of my favorite series. I came across Eric Powell's art pretty recently, actually, and I was blown away by his style, and his humor really gels with me, and so I really like this series. And so it looks like they're going to be collecting at least, it looks like in this series, four of the trades, so a good 500 pages. It's eight inches by 12 and 3/16 inches, so it's a nice big library edition, and it's only $40. And it's just a great series, so I'm really looking forward to it. Here's the description. Lonely streets come under all manner of threats, both tragic and hilarious, in this deluxe hardcover edition of The Goon. The nameless man, the zombie priest, has come to town to build a gang from the undead. Even with an unlimited supply of soldiers, the priest cannot move in on the territory controlled by the crime boss, Labrazio, and his unstoppable enforcer, The Goon. But when the priest discovers Goon's most closely held secret, the balance of power threatens to change forever. So it's just one of those adventure comedy series, and then I think as the series develops, it gets a little bit more serious. And tragic for the Goon, but I'm really looking forward to these Dark Horse Library editions. I have the Hellboy ones as well as the Fear Agent ones, and I really like them a lot, and they're really well put together hardcovers, and Eric Powell has great art, so much so that I actually ordered one of my first ever artist editions was the Eric Powell one that was solicited by Dark Horse a few months ago. So if you're a Goon fan or an Eric Powell fan, check out Dark Horse page 46.
Hello, my comic reading friends. This is Chris Brawlinator Brawley with my first pick from the July 2015 edition of Previews. That selection is found on page 56 in the Dark Horse section, and it's called The Paybacks. Number one, from writers Donnie Cates and Elliot Rahal, with art chores by Jeff Shaw and Lauren Affey on colors. This new ongoing title is being pitched as a superhero comedy for the debt-ridden generation. If you were a fan of Dark Horse's Buzzkill title from back in 2013, then this should be a delight. While this is a whole new story with brand new characters, it is firmly set in the universe that Cates and Rahal created in Buzzkill. It takes place after the events of Buzzkill, but you don't have to read that to understand the paybacks. There will be in-jokes and cameos aplenty for those sharp-eyed readers throughout, though. Let me tell you the story. These are deep in debt superheroes. They're called the Paybacks. They're forced to repossess the gear of other superheroes if they ever hope to get back in the black themselves. Seems the characters in this series have taken out a loan to become superheroes to pay for the elaborate costumes and extravagant hidden lairs, genetic enhancements, crime-fighting supercomputers, and the usual superhero stuff. Turns out they cannot pay off the loan, so they have to work it off by repossessing other heroes and their stuff. So the moral here is, heroism doesn't come cheap. The Paybacks is essentially a repo squad composed of bankrupt former heroes here to foreclose on everybody's secret lairs. So expect everything from crazy villains to heroes with unicorns in this title. Paybacks number one arrives in your local comic shop on September 16th, and you can find out more on page 54 of this month's previews catalog.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I'm a fan of this podcast, and this month I am really looking forward to getting a comic book called Power Cubed. It's an issue number 1 of 4 from Dark Horse Comics on page 58 of your previews catalog. And it's written, and the pencils and the cover are all by Aaron Lopresti. And the solicit is as follows. What if you had a piece of technology that created anything you could possibly want, and all you had to do was imagine it? what would you wish for Kenny Logan? His first wish is to survive his 18th birthday. His unique matter reinterpreting device has attracted the attention of a bumbling Nazi scientist with plans for world domination and an elite government agent who's hell-bent on acquiring the device to stop an alien invasion at any cost. Aaron Lopresti delivers a comical coming-of-age tale in a fantastical sci-fi universe. And this is the reason why I'm picking up this comic book, because of Aaron Lopresti. He's just an amazing artist. I think he's one of the best in the biz. He's worked on many of other comic books, obviously, more recently for DC. He's working on Convergence. He has worked on Convergence. He's also done Planet Hulk, Wonder Woman, Justice League International, Detective Comics, worked on X-Men. Just been all over and just an amazing artist. I think he's this comic book series and this artist remind me a lot of the late greats Dave Stevens and the Rocketeer fame. If you like his art, I really think you're going to like Aaron Lopresti's art. They're not the same, but they are similar high-quality artwork. And I think it's just going to be a really exciting series, especially if you look at the cover here. You got a lot going on. You got this sort of the main character in the center there. You got possibly his girlfriend hanging on his arm. You got this, you know, we got robots. You got agents. You got not as before mentioned Nazi scientists. You got another robot. You know, it's got sci-fi here, which I love. So once again, it's just going to be just an amazing comic book, and I really look forward to it. I think Aaron Lopresti is going to be more than capable of kicking out a miniseries, and it's going to be a great read. Once again, this comic book is called Power Cubed, issue number 1. It's going to be $3.99 cover price. It's going to be 32 pages, and it's going to be released on September 23rd. Thanks a lot, John.
Next up on page 58 from Dark Horse Comics is Power Cubed number 1 of 4 by Aaron Lopresti. He's doing the writing, the art, and the cover, and I am really looking forward to this. I think it's actually safe to say I've been looking for it for about a decade and a half. Now, it's a new comic. How could I have been waiting for it so long? Well, back in 1999, Aaron Lopresti did a start of a miniseries over at Image Comics called Atomic Toy Box. And he only got one issue out because it's one of those things that, I mean, for a creator-owned thing, if you don't get the sales and you're doing this on your own time and stuff, you got to make the money to make it worthwhile. And at the time where the market was, all the competition and stuff, it wasn't working out for him. But he's stuck with it, and he's coming back with it under the new name of Power Cubed. I thought the first issue of Atomic Toy Box was excellent, a lot of fun, and I'm looking to forward to a new and kind of revised version of it, because Aaron Lopresti back then was a great artist, but he's gotten just better and better over the years. He's worked over at Marvel, at DC, at various other companies, CrossGen and stuff, in the intervening time. At least I think it was CrossGen, maybe it was Malu. Anyways, he's worked all over the place. He's a terrific talent, I think underrated, and is really on the verge of, if not already being an A-list talent, he's certainly deserving of it. And again, I love it when a creator does all of the stuff himself, the writing, the art and stuff. It just ensures you've got a singular vision there. So, like I said, I'm really looking forward to Power Cubed. It is, again, by Aaron Lopresti. It is a $3.99 comic. We're doing the preview spotlight a little early this time, so I don't know what the final discount's going to be at DCBS, but I'm expecting a 50% discount because this is a comic book page pick of the month. Anyways, we got a full page of art and stuff there on 59 of the previews. I think it's definitely something to check out. Like I said, I've been looking forward to more of this stuff from Aaron Lopresti for a long time, and I'm glad we're finally getting it. So once again, that's Power Cube number 1 of 4 from Dark Horse Comics on page 58. Check it out. Next up on page 82 is Justice League United number 13. Now, this is a series that, coming out of Convergence and stuff, they've retooled, and it's kind of a united version of pretty much all the heroes and stuff that they need to call on for any given mission. Now, this issue is focusing on Stargirl, Steel, Robot Man, Batgirl, and Vandal Savage, although it looks like we've also got Poison Ivy and Swamp Thing on the image here, although it's not the final cover, so I'm not sure if it's even related to this issue or just a piece of art they had lying around. But they also claim we're going to get the long-awaited return of a legendary DC Comics hero, and I'm kind of curious who that's going to be. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was either Booster Gold or Rip Hunter. And the reason I say that is the feel I get out of this title coming out of Convergence, at least the preview I read. I don't think I've actually read the first issue yet after Convergence. But it sounds like they're going to be, again, tackling other things. The concept sounds very similar to Legends of Tomorrow at a very, very high level. So I'm kind of curious if there's going to be any connection there. Anyways, it's one of the lesser Justice League titles in terms of the lineup of where it ranks against the other stuff, because you've got Justice League, Justice League of America, and some other really good titles. This is one that I think is getting ignored. It's got some fun characters. I want to see how Stargirl and Batgirl interact, Steel and Robot Man. It just sounds like there's a lot of fun potential here. It's written by Jeff Parker. We've got Paul Pelletier and Rob Hunter on art. Like I said, I'm looking forward to it. It's Justice League United number 13 from DC Comics on page 82. Check it out.
It's TJ here with my next pick, and it is in the Vertigo section on page 143, and this is the Sandman Overture Deluxe Edition hardcover. Of course, with writing by Neil Gaiman and art by J.H. Williams III. 224 pages. It collects all six issues of the Sandman Overture series, and DC does, especially Vertigo, does a very good job in the oversized deluxe hardcover editions. And I'm looking forward to this. You know, unfortunately, due to, you know, probably the creators falling behind quite a bit in the schedule, Vertigo completely botched the rollout of these six individual issues. You know, sometimes, you know, I think it took almost 2.5 years to release six issues or something like that. It was just ridiculous. They many resolicitations and everything like that. But one of the benefits of being a trade and hardcover reader is you don't have to worry about that. And now I get to read the entire story in its entirety. And of course, I'm a huge Neil Gaiman fan. I have all the other Sandman stories in the Absolute Edition, and it's one of my all-time favorite comic stories. So I expect a lot from Neil Gaiman, and obviously J.H. Williams has a great pedigree, and I've loved some of his art, especially was introduced when he did Promethea with Alan Moore, and I really was blown away by his layouts and the way he organizes and his storytelling. And also some of his early New 52 Batwoman work was amazing in terms of the art. So I'm just looking forward to the real story, and hopefully, you know, the release schedule that killed the momentum won't be an issue here, because I'll get the whole story. So if you're interested in the Sandman Overture Deluxe Edition, check out page 143 in the Vertigo section.
Next up on page 161 is Atomic Robo in the Ring of Fire number 1 of 5 from IDW. That's right, IDW. Now, this used to be published by Red 5 Comics. And at the beginning of 2015, they switched to a web series, a web comic format, which, I'll be honest, I missed the announcement on that. I'd just been figuring, you know, Red 5 was keeping quiet or whatnot, and you know whatnot. But it turns out that the creative team of Brian Clevinger and Scott Wegener, and I apologize, guys, if I mispronounce your names, they had a publishing agreement with Red 5. I was always under the impression that Atomic Robo was kind of like a house property or whatever. But they transitioned after, 7 years of doing it over there to, again, full-time at webcomic over at atomic-robo.com. And now IDW has picked it up and is going to be publishing this as a 5-issue miniseries. They've also got a collected edition, which TJ is going to talk about next. And Atomic Robo is just some great all ages, fun science fantasy adventure type stuff. It's nominally science fiction. It's arguably fantasy. It's certainly wacky, but all of that in a really good way. It is just fun stuff to read. Really, if you haven't checked it out, I think you should. And this is a great chance to do it. It's a $3.99 comic. It's comic book page pick of the month, so we'll get a good discount through DCBS. If you have not, for some silly reason, checked out Atomic Robo, go back through the Weekly Comic Spotlight archives on the website. We've talked about just about every volume that's come out, at least an issue or two of it. It is great stuff. I highly, highly recommend it. Atomic Robo and the Ring of Fire number 1 of 5 from IDW. Like I said, check it out. You'll like it. I think you will. And if for some reason you don't like it, which I think is unlikely but possible, hey, you'd at least have given it a fair shake. And really, that's all I can ask. I think most people who read it are going to like it, though. So, like I said, check it out.
Yeah, guys. This is TJ with my next pick this month, and this is in the IDW section on page 161. And this is probably one of my top five series of the last few years, and one of the series that if I had to cut back severely, along with Astro City, would be one of the last books that I'd be willing to get rid of. And that is Atomic Robo, Everything Explodes Collection. So obviously the series Atomic Robo, I believe, started out at Red 5, and I'm not sure if the publisher's having issues or if they just the creators decided to take it somewhere else, but they've obviously brought the rights over to IDW, and this item that I'm talking about is the first three trades, all bound together, 384 pages for $40, and they'll probably have a great discount on that. And it's just a great story. That's all ages story told about science and the adventures that this atomic powered robot gets into. And I wish I could, expose more people to this. Astro City, Atomic Robo, these are the kind of comics when people talk about all ages and being accessible and being for everyone. These are the kind of comics that we need more of. And I wish that, was more exposure. And so I'm kind of excited that IDW is picking this up, and hopefully it will get a wider exposure and they'll be able to keep making these comics. And obviously I see that John has picked the number one issue of the next miniseries, Atomic Robo and the Ring of Fire, as one of his comic book page picks. So I'm real excited that there's going to be an ongoing, continuing series of these stories by Brian Clevenger and Scott Wegner. But yeah, it's just one of my all-time favorite series, and I usually read these in digital, but now that they're putting out these kind of like quasi-omnibus collections, I think there's 7 or 8 trades total. It looks like they're going to collect 3 trades in each of these, expanded collection. So if you're interested in Atomic Robo and you want to get a big chunk of the story, a good first start, 3 pages, check out page 161 of the IDW section for Atomic Robo, the Everything Explodes collection.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the IDW section on page 166, The X-Files, Season 11, Issue number 2, written by Joe Harris, art by Matthew Dow Smith. The solicit reads, "Home Again, Part 1 of 2. Despite his fugitive status, Mulder continues to investigate X-Files along the highways and byways of America. His latest stop is a secluded farm, which he soon discovers to be the new home of the infamous Peacock family." Now, this is a sequel to one of the most controversial X-Files episode called Home. It was controversial because of its disturbing subject matter that led to a viewer discretion warning at the beginning of the episode. And then rumor had it that it was banned from TV. I remember watching this when it first aired back in the 90s. It was one of the most creepiest, disturbing, and suspenseful X-Files episode I saw. So I hope that this two-part story is just as good, as the original episode. So if you guys get a chance, pick up X-Files, Season 11, Issue number 2. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
This is Brawlinator, and my next selection from previews this month is also in the IDW section. It's found on page 188, and it's King of the Comics, 100 Years of King Feature Syndicate hardcover. Now, this jewel is being advanced solicited for an October release and features such classics as Crazy Cat, Popeye, Flash Gordon, Beetle Bailey, Blondie, Prince Valiant, Hager the Horrible, Barney, Google, and Snuffy Smith, Baby Blues, Mutton Jeff, Zitz, Juliet Jones, Buzz Sawyer, Steve Canyon, Bizarro, High and Lois, Maggie and Jigs, Johnny Hazard. Whew. There really are way too many to list because King Features has had a more illustrious and long-lasting history than any newspaper syndicate, even as it continues to lead the way into the digital age and beyond. William Randolph Hearst's newspapers began syndicating material back in 1895 after receiving requests from other newspapers. So, in 1914, Hearst and his manager Moses Koningsberg consolidated all of Hearst's syndication enterprises under one banner. Koningsberg gave it his own name, Koenig equals King, when he launched King Feature Syndicate. This centennial birthday bash is hosted by Dean Mullaney, Bruce Canwell, and Brian Walker, with contributions by Brendan Burford, Lucy Shelton Caswell, Jared Gardner, Ron Goulart, Jeffrey Lindenblatt, Carl Linick, Paul Toomey, and Germund von Wauren. More than just comics, this oversized hardcover collection is a celebration of the profound impact that King Features has had on popular culture. And if you only buy one book this year, this should be it. It will retail for $49.99 with a handsome discount through DCBS. It clocks in at 288 pages, and it is oversized at 9.25 inches by 12 inches. This would make an excellent addition to anyone's coffee table or bookshelf. IDW always does a great job with their collected editions, and I expect this will be the same. Again, check it out for yourself on page 188 of this month's previews.
Guys, it's TJ again, and my next selection is on page 196 of the Image section, and that is Plutona, number 1 of 4, with story by Jeff Lemire and Emmy Lennox, and art by Emmy Lennox. And this is described as a brand new heartfelt superhero series by Jeff Lemire and amazing newcomer Annie Lennox. Plutonia follows the story of 5 suburban kids who make a shocking discovery while exploring the woods one day after school. The body of Plutona, the world's greatest superhero. A dark and heartbreaking journey about friendship and coming of age, all through the lens of superhero genre. So this looks like an interesting little miniseries, and I'm assuming that if it's successful being at Image that they'll continue the series. And I'm a big believer in Jeff Lemire, and obviously Jordi Bella is doing colors, which should make this a great book. And they also have basically a 3-page art preview, full page, and it just looks really good. It looks like a really good story. The art looks pretty good. I'm not really familiar with Emmy Lennox at all, and I'm always looking for new artists that are kind of draw my eye, and this art really does that for me. But I'm a big believer in Jeff Lemire. Was a huge fan of his Sweet Tooth, and in fact, I think a lot of people know him for his superhero work, but I actually prefer his creator-owned work. His Essex County, like I said, Sweet Tooth, a few of the other Vertigo series that he's done are just some great work, and I think he really is able to stretch his skills when he's doing his creator-owned work. So if you're a Jeff Lemire fan or just interested in a pretty interesting story with some great preview art, check out page 196 for Plutona from Jeff Lemire and Emmy Lennox.
This is the Brawlinator, and my next pick is also in the Image section. It's from a series I recommended several months ago. Found on page 219, it's now being collected in a trade paperback containing the first 6 issues. It's Descender, 10 Stars Volume 1 from writer Jeff Lemire with art and cover by Dustin Nagayan. This critically acclaimed series is for mature readers, and this trade, as is usually the case with Image, is only going to cost you $9.99. Not to mention, a deep discount can be found on DCBS. Descender tells a very interesting story of a young robot boy, Tim 21, and his companions struggling to stay alive in a universe where all androids have been outlawed and bounty hunters lurk on every planet. Descender pits humanity against machine and world against world to create a sprawling epic. 10 years ago, a race of giant super machines murdered most of the known universe. Giant robot-like beings called Harvesters suddenly appeared in the skies above each of the 9 core planets of the Megacosm, the homeworlds of the United Galactic Council, and wiped out billions without warning, then vanished just as unexpectedly as they arrived. Descender is epic and intelligent, an adventurous and heartfelt comic odyssey for all. Sony Pictures actually snapped up the rights to Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nagayan's Descender well before the book's March 2015 publication, and this practice is becoming more common with comic properties these days. This story and the creative team have made it feel like it's a big one. The art has a dramatic sense of scale, giving the story an immediate immensity. Tiny little Tim and his robot dog Bandit seem dwarfed by their surroundings, about to be swallowed up by the world. There's a whole galaxy out there, and most all of it wants to kill them. So do yourself a favor. If you've let this title pass you by, grab the collected trade for a steal. You can get the details on page 219 of this month's previews.
Next up on page 200 and 220, it's kind of weird the way Image is doing their stuff. The solicits on page 220, but the information about it's actually back on page 200. We've got Faster Than Light number 1 from Image Comics. The story is by Brian Haberlin, and the art is by Brian Haberlin and Gerard Van Dyke. And this is a more realistic take on Star Trek, I think would be the way to do it, way to phrase it or whatever. We got couple of sample pages of art here on page 201, 2, and 3 with dialogue and stuff. It looks fantastic. And what's really interesting about this is, in addition to just getting a really cool comic, this is going to be using the same augmented reality stuff that Brian Haberlin's used on some of his other projects. So what that means is you get the app for your iPhone or Android and, you know, shoot the camera at the cover and something else will pop up. You get additional content. And they don't skimp on that additional content in the past. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a $2.99 comic. It looks like a lot of fun. Again, just some good sci-fi adventure stuff. Haberlin is a terrific artist and creator. He's done some hardcovers using this augmented reality stuff. And again, you just get tons of really good art, and you get another layer of content kind of on top of that, which I think is just really cool. And again, $2.99 cover price for the introductory issue. Hard to go wrong with that. Worth checking out. Again, the solicits on page 220 and the information back on page 200. Next up on page 228 is Think Tank number 1. And then back on page 208 and 209 is the information about it. This is continuing the adventures of scientist David Loren, who's frankly a bit of a jerk, really smart though, and pretty much employed by the U.S. government against his wishes. In this case, it's looking like he is being put as part of a team to create an Iron Man suit. And of course, this is a much more scientifically based reality that he lives in, which is part of what I love about this comic. So they're hitting a few, you know, technical challenges of making science fantasy into science fact. Now, this is by Matt Hawkins. We've got Rashaan Iqdal on the art. And Hawkins does a really good job in the back of the book of kind of sharing his research on this stuff. So he's just a bit of a geek like many of us are. And he's building, you know, a science fiction story, and he's sharing the science basis and saying what's fiction and kind of, you know, where these challenges are. It's, as great as the story is, the back matter is a lot of fun to read, too. We've got 4 pages of story and art and lettering and stuff on page 209 to give you a feel for what the series is about. And again, I really enjoyed Think Tank when it was coming out a year or two back. I'm looking forward to it coming back. It is a $3.99 comic. It's comic book page pick of the month. So we should have a good discount for it over at DCBS when the order form comes up. So once again, Think Tank number 1 from Image Comics. Check it out.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
First up in the Marvel Preview Supplemental Catalog is my first selection from Marvel. Pages 2 and 3 show us the long-awaited Captain America White. This is issues 1 and 2 of 5 from Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. This miniseries was put on ice almost as long as Cap himself, but it will finally see publication after 7 years of delay, starting this September. The Captain America White miniseries continues Loeb and Sale's acclaimed Marvel Color series, which takes intimate looks at the lives of Marvel's biggest icons. Throughout 2001 to 2004, the Loeb and Sale team put out Daredevil Yellow, Spider-Man Blue, and Hulk Gray. This was actually to be the 4th series and would focus on Captain America and Bucky Barnes, but it never happened. I don't know why it never came together exactly. What I do know is that it was 4 years later in 2008 that Marvel finally published the traditional Zero issue of this 4th series, which was titled Captain America White. And then, nothing. Just silence for 7 long years. Now, many of you may have picked up that Zero issue back in 08, and I cannot tell if that material is included here or not. I suspect that it isn't. Marvel editor Mark Panicia has stated that this is a very special project for him, and something he considers a career highlight. It's set during World War II and in the present day. Captain America White will primarily follow Cap and his sidekick Bucky during the Golden Age missions with the Howling Commandos. First issue is a whopping 64 pages, and you can see a lot more in the Marvel Previews catalog on pages 2 and 3. The first 2 issues are being solicited.
Yeah.
Brawlinator again, and it is a moment I've been waiting for since Marvel got the license back. It's Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire number 1. The solicitation is found on pages 40 and 41 of the Marvel previews. This picks up where the second Death Star has been destroyed, the Emperor is dead, the galaxy celebrates. So what happens next? This is where Marvel's upcoming series comes in. It's written by Greg Rucka, illustrated by Marco Cecchetto. Shattered Empire is part of the larger Journey to Star Wars The Force Awakens publishing program. For the first time in the new Star Wars canon, Marvel will fill the gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens with a 4-issue miniseries starting in September with issues 1 and 2. This miniseries is perfectly timed to lay the foundation for December's release of The Force Awakens. Marvel and Lucasfilm are keeping advanced information close to the vest on this one, only willing to say that these comics will transport readers, quote, into the chaos of a shattered empire, unquote. Look for several expected variant covers too, I presume. Journey to the Force Awakens is the label for the initiative that will feature books and comics that tie directly into Marvel's ongoing Star Wars comic and will be considered continuity and canon. Word is that the filmmakers have a lot of surprises in store for fans, and the hints and puzzle pieces in the publishing program will keep fans guessing until the film opens later this year. Until then, we can expect much anticipation and speculation. Check it out for yourself September 2nd when it hits your local comic shop, or turn now to pages 40 and 41 and add them to your order sheet. And may the Force be with you.
Next up on page 40 of the Marvel previews is Journey to Star Wars The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire number 1, well, and 2 of 2. And I'm mainly talking about one, but really it applies to both. This is the first time in the new Star Wars canon since they've kind of jettisoned all of the expanded universe stuff in preparation for the new movies. But the first time since they've done that, that we're journeying after the time of Return of the Jedi to see what really is happening after that point as we lead up to the new movies, starting with The Force Awakens. Now, this is written by Greg Rucka. We've got art by Marco Cecchetto. We've got, again, a variant cover actually by Cecchetto on page 40. The art looks terrific, and I'm looking forward to what happened after the destruction of the second Death Star as we move into and prepare for The Force Awakens, the next Star Wars movie. Now, I enjoyed a lot of the extended universe stuff they'd done back in the day. It's unfortunate they decided, hey, let's not stick with that, but they got to give the people for the movie the freedom to do what they want for the movie. That is kind of the prime source of the material. So, you know, I'm okay with that. Again, looking forward to it. Greg Rucka is a phenomenal writer. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with Star Wars. So, once again, we've got Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire number 1. It is a $3.99 comic. It is going to be a comic page pick of the month. Obviously, I'm talking about it right now. So we should get a pretty good discount through DCBS. If you're shopping at a local store and you want this, make sure they know, because right now, while the Star Wars stuff is selling really hot, they're more likely to sell out of it than not have enough, which at the end of the day means the same thing. You may not be able to get it unless you ask for it. So if you want it, ask your retailer. Once again, we've got Journey to Star Wars The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire number 1 on page 40 of the Marvel previews. Check it out.
Aloha, true believers. This is Jason from Hawaii. My last pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section, from pages 45 to 47. The section is called True Believers. The women of Marvel are taking over in September. That's right, Marvel's blockbuster female-led titles are returning to comic shops this month for 10 new True Believers titles, specially priced at $1. These can't-miss introductory issues provide the perfect window into some of Marvel's critically acclaimed female-led titles. These titles are Thor, Spider-Gwen, Black Widow, Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, Silk, Princess Leia, Spider-Woman, and the unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Now, basically, I'm just picking up, you know, some of these number one issues for a dollar that I missed when it first came out, you know, such as Silk. And, you know, I'm going to try out the unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Also, what I like to do sometimes is to pick up, you know, extra copies and share them with coworkers and people, who, you know, who may be interested in comics, you know, but just, you know, they just don't know where to start. So if you guys get a chance, you know, pick
just check out, these issues that are going for a dollar. Thank you for listening. I look forward to hearing everyone's clips. John, have a fun and safe trip to Comic-Con. Back to you.
Hey, it's Brandon from the Forecast Podcast with my pick for the month. Because of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Thanos is enjoying a much higher profile than I think he's enjoyed in quite some time. He's making a whole lot of cameos in a whole lot of movies lately. And coming this September, we get a limited series from Marvel that spotlights him and maybe an antagonist that can finally take him down. We're getting Deadpool versus Thanos, number 1 and 2. The solicitation talks about how Thanos, the man who's made bejeweled gloves, his choice for a mass-murdering weapon in the Marvel Universe, has a new problem on his hand. He shares an X with Deadpool, and that's actually really true. And they say it in a tongue-in-cheek manner, but there have been some really good Deadpool stories in the past, spotlighting his weird relationship that he does have with the death of the Marvel Universe. Something is going on, and she is not taking anyone from the Marvel Universe anymore. People stop dying, and Deadpool and Thanos have to go and find out exactly why that is. So I think it'll be a fun ride. Deadpool is always hilarious. Well, almost always, depending on who's writing him. But I think in this case, it's going to be a really good story. And I do hope we get to see another appearance by Thanos' helicopter, like we did in a recent issue of Deadpool. Anyway, Deadpool versus Thanos 1 and 2 on sale in September. I think you should check them out.
I grew up in Southern California, so when I think Disney theme parks, I think Disneyland, not Disney World. Now, the reason I'm pointing that out is on page 52 of the Marvel Previews is Figment Volume 2, Number 1, and this is featuring the characters from Walt Disney World's Journey into Imagination attraction of Dreamfinder and Figment. Now, I really don't know anything about them from the attraction because I don't know that I've ever seen the attraction, but I did read the first volume of Figment, a 5-issue miniseries written by Jib Zub, and we've got Raymond Box on art here, and I really enjoyed that miniseries. It was just a lot of fun. These are interesting characters having a very fun adventure. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with their next adventure. So I'm really recommending this. It should be easy to get into. There's not, tons of continuity or anything of the sort to be worried about. And again, Jim Zub, just a terrific writer. I think it was last year, either at San Diego or one of the other conventions I went to, he gave a panel on writing, which was just phenomenal. If you have a chance to see him talk at a convention, I recommend doing it. Jim Zub just does a very good presentation. So once again, we've got Figment Volume 2, Number 1 on page 52 of the Marvel Previews. I think it's well worth checking out.
Again, in the Marvel section, September is apparently a big month for S.H.I.E.L.D., celebrating 50 years of existence. As such, once you get to pages 58 through 65, it is all S.H.I.E.L.D. celebration books, including several collected editions and some great-looking one-shots featuring Daisy Quake Johnson, Bobby Mockingbird Morse, Nick Fury Sr. and Jr., Agent Melinda May, Agent Carter, and Howard the Duck. Jump back to page 64 and you'll see my selection in this Embarrassment of S.H.I.E.L.D. Riches. It's Agent Carter, S.H.I.E.L.D. 50th Anniversary. Issue is written by Catherine Eimonen with art by Rich Ellis. In this one-shot, Agent Carter is back in an all-new adventure that reveals her secret history with S.H.I.E.L.D., starting when Dum-Dum Dugan attempted to recruit her. This is the same team that brought readers Operation Sin, which I enjoyed, and since Marvel is celebrating S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 50th birthday with 5 one-shot comics about fan-favorite S.H.I.E.L.D. characters, I suspected most readers already have a soft spot for Mockingbird and Agent May, but I myself have a soft spot for Peggy Carter, so I think I'll pick this one up. Again, pages 58 through 65 has a ton of S.H.I.E.L.D. selections this month, but the one I'm talking about is on page 64. Check it out. For my final selection in the Marvel section of previews, as well as my final selection this month, we turn to page 89 of the Marvel previews. Here we see Man-Thing by Steve Gerber, The Complete Collection, Volume 1, Trade Paperback, clocking in at 440 pages, written by, of course, Steve Gerber, but also Jerry Conway and Roy Thomas, along with art chores by Gray Morrow, John Buscema, Rich Buckler, Jim Starlin, and Val Merrick. It's Marvel's melancholy muck monster by the man who knows him best, with the nexus of all realities as the ultimate staging post. Prepare yourself for the wildest journeys of your comic reading life in this first volume of a complete collection of Steve Gerber's Man-Thing tales. Join the most startling swamp creature of all in a volume that collects Astonishing Tales 12 and 13. That's the 1970 version. Fear, or Adventures into Fear, 11 through 19. Marvel 2-in-1 number 1. Man-Thing series from 74, 1 through 8. And some material from the 71 version of Savage Tales number 1. And Fear number 10. And Monsters Unleashed number 5. The character was created by Roy Thomas, Jerry Conway, Gary Morrow, and Stan Lee. But Steve Gerber made it his own. Marvel had a lot of competition in the swamp creature field, with DC Swamp Thing also getting his own series, also debuting the very same month in October as Man-Thing did originally. Gerber himself has said that when he got the Man-Thing assignment, one of the first things he did was sit down with Len Wein, Swamp Thing's writer for DC, and asked him, "Why don't you tell me what you're doing, and whatever you're doing, I'll do something completely different." I have to confess that I'm not that well versed in the work of Steve Gerber. The comics for which he's best known were published mostly when I was too young to read. I am looking forward to this series. If you're like me and you missed out on that Man-Thing omnibus, which contained 60 issues, then these coming volumes should take care of you. I think that omnibus is pretty hard to find at a reasonable price anymore, and while this trade paperback only contains material from about 23 issues or so, these are all Steve Gerber issues. So check it out. It's found on page 89 of the Marvel Previews. Thanks, John, and thanks, everyone. We'll see you in the forums.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my first pick from the July Previews catalog is on page 250. It's an Ad House book, Gigant, by Danish creator Rune Ryberg, and the solicit reads thus: Gigant is a color-saturated, action-packed fantasy comic from creator Ryan Ruberg. The hero, Giant, is thrown into a bizarre journey within another dimension in an attempt to rescue his girlfriend, who has been swallowed by a thousand-eyed monster. That's all I know of the book, but it looks promising, and to me, the big selling point is that it is coming out from Ad House. Just the other week, we did a publisher spotlight on the seasonal books coming out from Ad House, and they do great things. It's one of those smaller publishers that I think, you know, you can never go wrong by reading their books. So definitely check out on page 250 the next release from Ad House Books, and that is Gigant from Rune Ryberg. This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick of the month is on page 259. This is in the Alternative Comics section. Now, a little while ago, I highlighted a release, an upcoming release, from one of my favorite smaller publishers, Ad House Books. Another one of my favorite smaller publishers is Alternative Comics, and not just because the name is an inversion of my podcast, The Comics Alternative. If you remember, several months ago, Alternative Comics announced that they had a co-op agreement with a variety of other smaller publishers, including Floating World Comics, Hickok Publications, Revival House, Study Group Comics, Hang Die Editions, and Max Media. And what they're going to be doing is, or what they've started to do, is to carry not only their own publications, Alternative Comics, but also distribute the comics from these other smaller publishers as well. And on page 259 of the catalog, you will see the fruit of this co-op. There are several titles here. There are four that look promising, and I'll just mention them briefly. One is Beef with Tomato, which is a new graphic novel by Dean Haspiel. Very much looking forward to that. We also have the second volume of the Hickok Journal of Humor from the United Kingdom, and we also have solicited Seth Kushner and Josh Neufeld's Schmuck, which is a graphic novel, and we also have Gregory Benton's Smoke, which is a graphic novel as well. You can never go wrong with Alternative Comics and now the other publishers as part of the co-op, so check out their solicits on page 259 of the Previews catalog. This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick from the July catalog is on page 312. You'll find this in the Canton Street Press section, The Complete Golden Age Airboy and Valkyrie. Now, this is going for $24.99, and I'm pretty sure you can get a decent discount at Discount Comic Book Service. And the reason that I'm mentioning this is if you were highly impressed, as I was, by James Robinson's and Greg Hinkle's first issue of Airboy that came out just a couple of weeks ago from Image, then it may be a good idea to become a little more familiar with the classic Airboy if you aren't already, to see what Robinson and Hinkle were playing with. With the new Image comic, you get a sarcastic, almost metafictional take on Airboy. But with this Canton Street Press book, you can see the real deal, the original, the classic Airboy. You'll find this solicit on page 312 of the July previews catalog, so check it out. This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick is on page 316 of the July catalog. It is The Dharma Punks from Ant Song, and this is coming out through Conundrum Press. And the solicit reads thus: Set over one long night in Auckland, New Zealand in 1994, a group of anarchist punks have hatched a plan to sabotage the opening of a multinational fast food restaurant by blowing it sky high come opening day. Chopstick, I guess that's a character's name, has been given the unenviable task of setting the bomb before the opening, but the night takes many unexpected turns. Chance encounters and events from the past conspire against him, forcing Chopstick to deal with more than just the mission at hand. Chopstick's journey is a meditation on life, love, friendship, and the ghost of Kurt Cobain. Now, the introduction to this graphic novel is by another New Zealand great, and that is Dylan Horrocks. I've come to expect a lot of great things from Conundrum Press, and in fact, we did a Conundrum Press publisher spotlight about a month and a half ago on the Comics Alternative. They put out a lot of great books. They're another one of those Canadian publishers, much like Drawn in Quarterly, that I'm always drawn to. They're a lot smaller than Drawn in Quarterly, but they do some great things. Andy Brown, who is the founder and editor of Conundrum Press, knows his stuff. I would definitely check out not only the Dharma Punks, but about everything that comes out from Conundrum Press. But you can find the solicit on the Dharma Punks on page 316 of the catalog.
Next up on page 324 is Voltron from the Ashes, number one from Dynamite Entertainment, written by Colin Bunn and art by Blackie Shepherd. And for once, I think I actually got the names right. Yay! No. One of the things that's in the quote here is a quote from, or in the solicitation blurb here, is a quote from Colin Bunn saying, quote, "You don't grow up in the day and age of my childhood without developing a deep and abiding love for Voltron, ... he continues. I looked it up. Colin Bunn's about 2 years younger than I am. I don't know if that's necessarily enough to make that difference or not, but while I was aware of Voltron, never really got that deep and abiding love that he's talking about. I'm curious about the property, and I'm interested about the property, because frankly, it's about as close to the actual Power Rangers and Super Sentai stuff as I'm likely to find outside of what Paper Cuts is doing and the occasional graphic novel or a digest or whatever. So I'm definitely checking this out. It sounds like a lot of fun. 32 pages, $3.99. It's 200 years later, and we get a new Voltron force. So I'm looking forward to seeing what team gets assembled, how that works, and just what's going on there. Because again, this is very much right in my wheelhouse in terms of it's the same genre of the Super Sentai. We got the big robots, we got the team, different colored costumes and stuff like that. It's just, you know, a bit of a variation. It doesn't follow all of the tropes of the Super Sentai, but it follows enough of them. So like I said, I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. I think you should check it out. Once again, that is Voltron from the Ashes, number one, on page 324 from Dynamite.
Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. It's on page 346 in the Dover Publications section. This is the Puma Blues, the Complete Saga hardcover, with writing by Stephen Murray, Alan Moore, and art by Michael Zulli. says, out of print for nearly 25 years and one of Rolling Stone's top 50 non-superhero graphic novels of all time. The Puma Blues is a series of interrelated stories that visualize life at the turn of the 21st century as a world of mutated animals in which a lone government agent investigates the truth behind environmental degradation. Written by Stephen Murray and Alan Moore and illustrated by Michael Zulli, this deluxe hardcover unveils a never-before-seen ending, including a foreword by David Sim, an afterword by Stephen Bissett, and a new story by Alan Moore. Neil Gaiman calls it intelligent and urgent mythology for the end of the millennium. So it's a 480-page black and white hardcover, and I think Dover is putting out a bunch of the graphic novels that they've either had out of print or never really put in collected edition. But I've heard a lot of good things about the Puma Blues. And with great artists like Michael Zulli and some good writing, this looks really interesting. And this is one of the most exciting things for me in this month's catalog. So if you're interested in some old school stories from Alan Moore and Stephen Murray, check out the Puma Blues Complete Saga hardcover on page 346. Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. It's on page 356 in the Fantagraphics section. This is Terror Assaulter, OMWOT, by Benjamin Mara. This looks like a soft cover, 116-page, full color. And it's described, this is pretty funny, described as cartoonist Benjamin Mara brilliantly satirizes America's recent obsession with justice and its disinterest in consequences. Terror Assaulter must defeat terror at all costs, diverting only for steamy dates with hot chicks. Nothing is spared in the searing and hilarious indictment of American foreign policy over the last decade, whether it be neocon philosophy, the state of American masculinity and sexuality, or male power fantasies in escapist entertainment. You know, I haven't read a lot by Benjamin Mara, but I did like Team America, the movie that the creators of South Park did. That was a parody and a satire of kind of the way that America interacts with the rest of the world. And, you know, even when we think we're doing the right thing. And so this looks like a pretty good send up of that, and pretty over the top. And I do love over the top comics. And I think comics is one of those mediums that really lends itself well to, farce and being over the top. And, this looks pretty interesting to me. And, I always am looking for a good laugh in comics. So if you're interested in that, check out Terror Assaulter by Benjamin Mara, page 356 of the Fantagraphics section.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my last pick from the July previews catalog can be found on page 376. Actually, there's several picks, but they're all from Koyama Press. Now, earlier in the show, I pointed out that one of my favorite Canadian small presses is Conundrum, but another one is Koyama. And I love the work that they do. This month, they have three titles that they are soliciting: Black Rat from Cole Closser, and two from Michael DeForge, Dressing and Loose, number 7. Black Rat by Closser is an aesthetically varied collection of 9 graphic short stories, loosely linked by the recurring appearance of a black rat. Black Rat is the sleeper in the shadow, the wanderer in the woods. He walks between worlds and travels through time, slaying monsters, solving mysteries, and philosophizing with his fist amidst a barrage of butchered quotes and borrowed styles in a series of seemingly disparate, sometimes violently visceral vignettes. So that definitely sounds promising. I'm not familiar with the work of Cole Closser, but I'm wanting to check this out and become familiar with his stuff. Now, someone that I am very familiar with is Michael DeForge. And as I said, he's got two solicited in this month's catalogs. The next in his Loose series, Loose number 7. And if you're not familiar with Loose, then you definitely should check out that series. But there's a graphic novel that's going to be released as well, and this is Dressing. Now, much like Very Casual, which came out in 2013, this is a collection of odd stories From the over of Michael DeForge. If you're not familiar with the comics of DeForge, then you should be. He's definitely someone worth checking out. But you know, if you don't know his comics, you may be familiar with some of the work that he does, because he is a designer and storyboard artist on the television show Adventure Time. So if you like that, if you like offbeat comics, then definitely check out Dressing and Loose Number 7. And in fact, check out everything you can see this month from Koyama Press, whose solicit is on page 376.
Next up on page 376 from Legendary Comics is The Infinite Adventures of Jonas Quantum number 1. It's written by Mark Guggenheim with Freddie Williams Jr. as the artist. We've got the cover there. We got a bigger version of the cover on the facing page 377. It's Freddie Williams. I mean, come on. You're going to get some good stuff. And this is a tighter version of his pencils than we've gotten in some more recent series. He kind of loosened it up, got a little scribbly there for a while, in my humble opinion. This is again, back to Freddie Williams in all his glory. Looks like a lot of fun. Jonas Quantum is a hyper genius who can do pretty much anything you need done. He just doesn't play well with others. So this is going to be an action-adventure series that I'm looking forward to. Some good sci-fi. It looks like a mix between, say, Think Tank and maybe a more Fantastic Four superhero-y kind of a take on it. Can't really tell. Looks like a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. It is a 24 pages. I'm thinking that story pages, not printed pages, maybe one and the same. Don't know. It is a $3.99 comic. We'll have a good discount on it through DCBS because it's comic book page pick of the month. But once again, it is The Infinite Adventures of Jonas Quantum number 1 from Legendary Comics on page 376. Next up on page 456, The Art of Comic Book Writing, The Definitive Guide Softcover. Now, this is written by Mark Neese, and I apologize if I mispronounced the last name. And this is the latest book in the SCAD Creative Essentials series from the Savannah College of Art and Design. I don't know if I have any of their other books or not. I would have to go look at my bookshelf and see if any of them have that SCAD logo on them. But this is a book on how to write for comics, and it says it has some practical guidelines favored by many publishers, and has a unique trial and error approach to show would-be scribes the potential pitfalls they might encounter when trying to seek a career in comics. So it looks like this is going to have some good practical advice on how to write comics. There have been other books, plenty of books, on how to draw, how to ink, how to letter, how to color, you know, you name it. There's stuff for how to publish and stuff on comics. I am a bit of a process junkie, so I enjoy these. And at some point, I do want to produce a comic. So this is something I recommend to people who are interested in that sort of a thing. It's 192 pages. It is a soft cover. It is $24.99, and we'll have a discount on that through DCBS because it's comic book page pick of the month. So if you're interested in The Art of Comic Book Writing or want to write a comic book yourself, it's worth checking out. Once again, The Art of Comic Book Writing, The Definitive Guide, softcover on page 456. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.